Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. In this podcast, Rabbi Schweiger discusses Parshat Bo and the Ten Plagues. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as the Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Schweiger.
In this week's podcast, I would like to examine the Ten Plagues. In the Pesach Haggadah, there is a statement brought in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who grouped the plagues in sets of three and gave us the mnemonic device, Ditzach Adash Be'achav. Why did Rabbi Yehuda group them this way? When we think of the plagues, we generally think of them as being punishments. Each time, God gives Pharaoh the choice, let the Jewish people go or suffer the plague. But when we examine the plagues more closely, we actually see that before the first, fourth, and seventh plagues, there is an educational message that God wishes to convey to Pharaoh and the Egyptian people. In last week's parsha, in chapter 7, verse 17, before the first plague, the plague of blood is brought. God says, Ko amar Hashem, thus says the Lord, Bezot teida, in this you will know, ki ani Hashem, that I am Hashem. I am about to bring the plague of blood. All the water in the Nile will turn to blood. Before the fourth plague, in chapter 8, verse 18, the fourth plague is Makat Arov, where there is a question, was this a mixed multitude of wild animals running loose, or gnats? But God says in verse 18, on that day I will separate the land of Goshen, where my people are standing, that there will be no Arov there. Why? Leman teida, so that you know, ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz, that I am God in the midst of the land. And before the seventh plague, in chapter 9, verse 14, a verse that we looked at last week, God says, for this time I will send all my plagues to your heart, into your servants and your people, in order that you know that there is none like me in all the land. Three times we have God saying, I am bringing the plagues so that you should know. In fact, it seems this is a response to Pharaoh, who in the initial encounter he has with Moses, when Moses says in chapter 5, thus says the Lord God, let my people go. Pharaoh's response in chapter 5, verse 3, verse 2, who is Hashem that I should listen to his voice to send out Israel? Lo yadati et Hashem. I don't know Hashem. And as the song goes, the plagues basically are getting to know you. What is this knowledge that God wishes to give over to Pharaoh? First, Ki Ani Hashem. We have discussed in previous podcasts the significance of the name Hashem. According to the rabbinic understanding, Hashem refers to the God who is supernatural, who is above the world we live in. And hence, what God is saying to Pharaoh is that the plagues which I am about to bring you cannot be understood in the natural world. They are beyond the natural world. All attempts to find rational scientific explanations are futile. And the whole point is for Pharaoh to acknowledge that there is this power, that goes beyond the natural world, suspends the natural world. Hashem, the one who creates being, who at any moment can create something radically new. But then there is a second level of awareness, which is before the fourth plague. Ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. I am God in the midst of the land. I am God who will separate between the Jews and the Egyptians. And in fact, from the fourth plague on, we find that the Torah emphasizes how the plague affected the Egyptians but did not affect the Jews, where the ultimate expression of this is in the plague of the firstborn, in our parsha, where we are told that God passes over the house of the Jews, yet in the house of the Egyptians, there is not one home where there is no one who is dead. The God who is Hashem, who is beyond the natural order, is the same God who very much is involved in the natural order. Bekerev ha'aretz, in the midst of the land, separating between the Jews and the Egyptians. And then when we get to the seventh plague, God says, I am bringing this in order that you know that there is none like me in the land. Let us take a moment to examine the seventh plague. What makes the seventh plague so unique? So that Pharaoh has this realization, there is nothing like God, or should have that realization. Firstly, when we look at chapter 9, verse 18, God says, I will cause to shower tomorrow a hail which is very heavy, which never was before in Egypt, from the day that it was founded until the present. Heavy hail, unprecedented. Point one. Next, when the plague comes, we're told in verse 23, Moshe stretched out his staff on the heavens, towards the heavens, and God brought forth sounds and hail, and fire came down to the ground. And in the next verse, there was hail and fire, which was burning in the midst of the hail. Rashi comments, it is not the nature of the world that fire and water mix, coexist. We all know that water extinguishes fire, and hence, this is seen as being a miracle within a miracle, that two opposing elements can coexist in the service of Hashem. But perhaps the most significant element in the plague of the hail is in verse 19. And now send quickly your cattle and all that you have in the field. Any person, any animal which is to be found in the field, which is not gathered into the house, the hail will fall upon them and they will die. And then in the next verse, those who feared the word of God from the servants of Pharaoh rushed their servants and cattle into their homes. But in verse 21, those who did not place their heart, pay heed to the word of Hashem, they left their servants and cattle in the fields. What makes these verses so significant? As I mentioned earlier, in every plague, Pharaoh has two options. Let the Jews go and not suffer the plague, or hold on to the Jews and suffer the plague. But here, Pharaoh has a third option. Don't let them go, but also don't suffer the consequences of the plague. If the thrust of this plague is to bring death upon people and animals who are in the fields, that can be avoided. Not only can it be avoided, but God is advising Pharaoh, quickly Bring your people, your animals, into the homes so that they don't suffer the plague. It is this act which shows how there is none like God in the land. In many ways, the plagues are a power struggle between God and Pharaoh, a battle which is raging, a battle where Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who sees himself as being a semi-divine being, refuses to capitulate to the God of the Hebrews. We know from our own experience that it is the way of the world that when you're engaged in battle, you fight to the bitter end. The goal is to destroy your enemy. What God shows Pharaoh, Ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz, even towards my enemies, I exercise compassion. Ultimately, I am not interested in seeing people die. I am warning you. I'm giving you a chance. You don't have to suffer the plague. Show compassion on your people. And as I mentioned last week, Pharaoh is not only ruthless to the Jews. Pharaoh is ruthless not only to the Jews, but also to his own people. He could have saved those in the field, but he does not issue a directive. This is what separates Pharaoh from God. The same God, Hashem, who is all-powerful, who creates being, who suspends the natural order, is also the God of compassion. Let me look at one more verse. God says to Pharaoh in chapter 9, verse 15, I could have sent forth my hand already and destroy you and your people in the fifth plague, the pestilence, and you would have been wiped off the face of the earth. But for this reason, I kept you going, so that you see my power, so that you tell the story of my name in all the land. Saper Shmi b'chol ha'aretz. I mentioned earlier that Rabbi Yehuda divided the plagues into three sets of three, where at the beginning of each set, there is an educational message, Leman Teda. One could raise the question, why in fact did the rabbis end last week's parsha after the seventh plague? Why not end the parsha after the sixth plague, which would have been a nice fit with Rabbi Yehuda? Start the last set in Parshat Bo. Why break up that set? I would like to suggest the reason is because the seventh plague is Pharaoh's last opportunity to do tshuva, to change, to acknowledge God, or as the Pasuk says, to tell the story of God's name in the land. But he doesn't do it. And as Moshe notes at the end of last week's parsha, this is chapter 9, verse 30. Moshe says, and you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear God. Hence, our parsha begins with God saying to Moshe, come to Pharaoh, because I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, in order to place my signs in his midst. And in verse 2, and in order that you tell the story in the ears of your children and your grandchildren, how I toyed with the Egyptians, and of the signs I placed among them. But the key, and you will know that I am Hashem. In the first seven plagues, God has an educational message, three educational messages, that he hopes the Egyptians and Pharaoh will internalize. But when they don't, God has in effect written them off, so that when our parsha begins, God says to Moshe, the purpose of this plague is not for Pharaoh, it's for the Jewish people. Pharaoh will not know Hashem, but the Jewish people will. And therefore, God will now use Pharaoh to bring that awareness to the Jewish people. I would like to spend the rest of this podcast examining the ninth plague, the plague of darkness. In chapter 10, verse 21, God said to Moshe, "Stretch forth your hand to the heaven. Let there be darkness on the land of Egypt." And then it says in the Hebrew, "V'yamesh choshech." There is an interesting disagreement among the commentaries as to what is the root of the word "v'yamesh," and hence, what is its meaning. One interpretation is to say "v'yamesh" is related to the word "emesh," which means yesterday, as a way of saying the darkness of yesterday will continue today. And to see the plague of darkness as being simply the absence of light, God has somehow suspended the natural order of night and day, so that night continues into the following day. But a second interpretation, which is brought in Rashi, is that the root is mashash, to feel, with the understanding that this darkness is not just the absence of light, but something very tangible, very real. Let us look at the next verses. "And Moshe did as God said and stretched forth his hand, and there was darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. A man did not see his brother, nor did a man get up from his place for 3 days. But to all of the children of Israel, there was light in their habitations." The rabbis note that the word 3 days is mentioned twice. And on that basis, there is a midrash which says, the plague of darkness, in fact, lasted 6 days. Two sets of three. During the first 3 days, one could not see his fellow, his brother. During the second set, the darkness was so strong, one could not get up. Perhaps these two sets of days reflect the two interpretations I gave earlier. Initially, the darkness was the absence of light. Since there was no light, one could not see. One could not see his brother. But eventually, the darkness became something tangible. So tangible that it gripped the people so that they could not move, they could not budge. It is interesting that in the eighth plague, with the locusts, there already is a concept of darkness. Before the plague is brought, it says that the locusts, this is chapter 10, verse 5, "The locusts will cover the eye of the earth. You will not be able to see the earth." And when it actually happens, it says later on in verse 15, "And he covered the eye of the earth, vatechshach ha'aretz, and the earth was darkened." Already in the plague of locusts, there is a concept of darkness. It plays itself out further in the ninth plague, and perhaps reaches its crystallization in the last plague, the plague of the firstborn, who are killed at midnight. What is the purpose of this plague? On the one hand, one could say that the Egyptians are experiencing what they did to the Jews. And let me explain. During the 3 days of darkness, when they cannot get up, they perhaps can begin to appreciate what it means to be a slave. And I want to focus on two aspects of that. One aspect is the lack of mobility. Slaves cannot go wherever they want. The proof being, the Jewish people would like to leave. Pharaoh doesn't let them. They're imprisoned. Pharaoh and his people are now experiencing what it means to be imprisoned, to be immobilized. But it's not only that. Slaves are also very vulnerable. During those 3 days of darkness, the Egyptians are vulnerable. Theoretically, the Jews could come in, slaughter them, take away all of their possessions. According to a midrash, when it says, the Jews have light in all their dwellings, in all their habitations. It's not only in their homes, but wherever Jews walk, they have light. The tables have been turned. The Jews are now in a position where they have the mobility. The Jews are now in a position where they have the power. The Egyptians now are getting a glimpse of what the Jews have been experiencing all these years. But there is another idea in the plague of darkness, not only for the Egyptians to experience what the Jews have gone through, but what God is doing is step by step unraveling the whole natural order in Egypt. God is bringing Egypt back to the primordial state of the world. In the beginning of Bereshit, the world is described as being chaotic. V'ha'aretz hayta tohu vavohu, v'choshech al pnei tahom, and darkness is on the face of the depths. Egypt is being brought back to this primordial reality. Darkness envelops it. Eventually, in the plague of the firstborn, there is not only darkness, but absolute chaos, tohu vavohu. In every home, there is shrieking, crying. What God is doing is showing Pharaoh what in fact he has done. Egypt, that was such a developed society, technologically, culturally, has behaved in the most barbaric manner. Rather than being enlightened, a beacon of civilization, they have created a reality which is dark, chaotic. And so that what God is doing is simply putting in their face what they have actually created. In our parsha, the whole fabric of Egyptian society comes apart, is destroyed, in order to bring into existence a new creation, that of the Jewish people. And the new creation begins in the plague of darkness with the creation of light. In the same way that in the beginning of Bereshit, in the midst of the darkness, God creates light, separates between the light and the darkness, and eventually brings light into the darkness. So too here. It is not only that the Jews physically have light in the midst of the darkness, but the light here is a spiritual light. When the tables are turned, when the Jews now have mobility, when the Jews have the power, they don't leave Egypt, they don't pillage Egypt, they don't kill the Egyptians. Put differently, when the Jews are empowered, they do not exercise their power in a vindictive, destructive manner. They are able to exercise it with nobility, with dignity. And this begins the process which eventually leads to the Jews leaving Egypt, to crossing the Red Sea, to receiving the Torah at Sinai. As the Egyptians unravel, the Jews begin to develop and pick up momentum. As Egypt goes further and further into darkness, the Jews go further and further into light, with the culmination being the construction of the tabernacle, which we've spoken about, so that at the end of the book of Shemot, the Jews have the pillar of fire, which illuminates their path. The Jews have the Torah, which is the light of the world. The purpose of the events in Egypt was not to be punitive. It was primarily meant to be educational. God would have liked Pharaoh and the Egyptians to learn and live. When they foreclosed that option, when they put themselves on a collision course, they eventually die. And let me just add, the ultimate expression of the darkness and the chaos can be seen in what happens at the Red Sea, when Pharaoh and his troops just continue to go further and further into the sea in the midst of darkness, which is so thick to the point where eventually there is utter chaos as the water comes back together, resulting in the death of every one of Pharaoh's men. We have the ability to separate between light and darkness. The question is, do we learn? Do we grow? Do we see the signs? Do we tell the story of God? Do we know God? And through that, create a reality of life rather than death. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.